Hello everyone, you're listening to the RotoViz Highlight Reel, brought to you by Draft. My name's Colm Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. On the Highlight Reel, we feature the top articles on rotoviz.com and get an extended insight into the writer's process and findings. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. Today I'm delighted to be joined on the show by Anthony Omeko. During the season, Anthony has admitted himself that there hasn't been as much stuff coming up on the site as what he does, but there's a great article I wanted to get his thoughts on as to how his process was, how he got it done. We're going to be talking today about where high-scoring weeks come from. But before we get into the article, Anthony, thanks for jumping aboard the Highlight Reel.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and for any of the listeners that have heard me on my Overtime Ireland podcast, I've had Anthony as a guest on it a number of times, so I always enjoy talking to him. So anytime I get an excuse to have a conversation with him, it's always a good time. So obviously, as well as I start off, I just want to mention about the RotoViz 30% discount, an NFL pass up on rotoviz.com. 30% discount for all the podcast listeners, and it's available through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription will give you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it helps support the pod. So be sure and get the 30% discount for yourself for that NFL pass at rotoviz.com/podcast. So, Anthony, as we get into looking at the article that you had earlier this year up on rotoviz.com about where do high-scoring weeks come from, what is it you kind of, what was your aim as you started off this piece? Is it was just something you wanted to look more into for your own personal use, or where did it come about? What was a little bit of the methodology behind the kind of reasoning for going into the article?
Yeah, so one of our presenting sponsors this year, as you know, has been Draft. And Draft has these awesome season-long best ball leagues that they just came out with this year. It's been a new format. It's been a lot of fun. I think people have been really getting into it. And I wanted to kind of see some strategy for those formats. A lot of people talk about NFL 10s and best ball in that sense. But I wanted to focus a little bit more on draft leagues and just kind of see maybe how we should be optimizing our draft strategy. Obviously, in best ball leagues, we know that your lineup is optimized for you every single week. So you're really just shooting to get as many high scoring weeks as you can. A lot of people, over the course of a season, you're going to get a certain number of startable weeks. And I think that those normal weeks will kind of just balance out. But where you're really going to find your edge, where you're really going to win in best ball, to me, is accumulating these really, really high scoring weeks. Like we just saw, we're taping this on Monday. So yesterday we just saw Todd Gurley have that monster game, scored 4 touchdowns. He had like 200 total yards. Like that's a game where even if he doesn't do much the rest of the year, that's a game that makes a huge difference for you in a best ball format, because that's a week that nobody else is going to have. So I really wanted to see kind of where the most of these really big games kind of came from. So I looked at the top 50 and top 100 single game scores at the wide receiver and running back positions for the last 5 seasons, so 2012 to 2016. I just took a look at, were more of these high scoring weeks coming at the running back or wide receiver position? How were these related to draft position? And how frequently, based on round, were you able to basically find a player who could give you a top 50 or a top 100 week over the course of the season?
Yeah, and you mentioned there, obviously, with Todd Gurley in week 15, you mentioned that if you have him on your roster, the interesting thing you mentioned there was that nobody else could have had that player. And that's something that I don't think people look at when they're looking at best ball leagues or looking at getting these high scoring weeks, is not only do you have him on your team, but the other players aren't going to be able to have him on their team, which is obviously a huge part of the whole deal. People will be thinking about, well, if I have him on my team, that's going to give me 40 points from him this week. It's going to be an overall total, boosted up to maybe 180 points over the whole team over that week. But you don't think of it as that means that there is points that other team cannot have, because obviously if he's on another roster in another league that you have, you're obviously at a deficit in that. That's an interesting way to look at it. Is that the way you tend to look at it from, always in best ball leagues?
Well, I think that this study, and I think that my approach going into 2017 was really more driven on that. I think in the past I was more of the mindset like, all right, I just want to like accumulate points. I just want to score. This is the first time that I think I've really looked at it as like there's a real goal here that we want, and it's to acquire these big weeks.
Yeah, it's like looking at it from a kind of plus minus negative scale for your team. And obviously, you know, you mentioned a couple of times the results. What were the results as you kind of progressed your way through the article? What did you really start to see stand out for you as, you know, some of the real positives you could use going into the season?
Yeah, so the first thing that stood out was that over the last five seasons, the wide receiver position was producing more high scoring weeks, about a 60-40 split in favor of the receivers. Percentage-wise, both inside the top 50 and inside the top 100, the results were pretty much the same in terms of the number and the distribution. 2016 was the only year where there were more high-scoring running backs than there were wide receivers. And then kind of as we looked at the distribution by round, we were able to see that not only were we finding more top-scoring wide receivers, but they were also coming more frequently in the top portion of the draft. So as the draft started, the wide receivers that you drafted early, both were producing more top 50 and top 100 weeks in terms of total frequency early in the draft, but also percentage-wise, based on just like the number of players taken at that position in each round, you were also getting more players to yield a top 50 or top 100 week early in the draft at the wide receiver position. And then kind of as the draft goes along, obviously the frequency of those weeks is coming down overall, but the running back position starts to catch up, and you can kind of see towards the end, especially in the, you know, 9 through 14 round kind of range, the running backs really pick up a little bit and they start kind of overcoming the wide receivers. So the overall, I think, premise and the big takeaway that I took kind of from the research was that if we want to build like one of these true high upside teams that can take first, you know, and in draft leagues, I should note that the payout structure is a little more flat than it is in like an NFL 10, because they do pay, I believe, top three, whereas NFL 10, you just pay, you know, it's winner take all essentially. Yep. But if, you know, if we wanted to really build these teams that can finish first, it was through wide receivers early and running backs later.
Yeah, and I think that fits in perfectly with what we do here at RotoViz, with a lot of zero RB talk going on, and heavily favoring the wide receivers. Do you think that's kind of the reason for that, is you can take multiple shots at running backs that are in that kind of mid to late rounds valuation, and then see, you know, usually on average, you know, a couple of them will hit every year? Do you think that's the way you were looking at it, that the guys in that later range just kind of picking, having more picks at that range and going for the solid options at the top at wide receiver? Was that kind of the way you were looking at it as well?
Well, I think it just speaks to the difference in the two positions, because at receiver, I really think that overall you have to be talented. You have to be good, you know, quote unquote, to produce a lot of fantasy points at the wide receiver position, because there's so many things that go into that are driven by the receiver. The receiver has to run the right route. He has to get open. He has to catch the ball. He has to do anything that he does after the catch. Whereas the running back position is really more based on opportunity and volume. So, you know, we assume that a player that we draft later at running back, you know, if he just gets volume, we assume that he can produce. Whereas the wide receiver that we draft late, we don't have that same assumption, because we're not sure that he is going to be as talented as the player that he's maybe replacing in the lineup. So I think it just gets back to the whole idea of anti-fragility and, you know, how we approach our drafts with zero running back in, you know, a normal season-long context. I think that the same applications apply in best ball.
Yeah, I feel the same way about that. And you already mentioned, you know, that this season one of our sponsors is Draft. This article was in turn kind of to look at what you should do while you were using their best ball season long format. And of course, I want to tell the listeners about how they can play on Draft today. You can download the app anytime. Just search Draft in the App Store or on your favorite device. You can just search for Draft in that as well. You can also play on your computer at playdraft.com, whichever way you prefer. And for a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. All you have to do is enter our code RVRadio. It's a hell of a lot of fun. I've been playing all season long. It is best ball, as we've kind of been touching on here, and it pretty much snake draft format, and then set it and forget it. It's just so simple, and of course you can play for cash, which makes it a lot more fun. So do check out playdraft.com, or else download the app in the App Store, and of course, as well, I mentioned, use that promo code RV Radio to get your first game for free when you put in that first deposit. So, you know, when we look now into 2017, and how this has played out so far. How has it played out in 2017? Do you find that you've had most of it right so far?
Yeah, so 2017 actually has shown to slant a little bit more towards the running backs in terms of overall top 50 weeks. I just looked at it through week 14, didn't include week 15 because I was preparing for the show over the weekend. And we have about 60% of the top 50 weeks so far have come at the running back position. I'm sure if we included this weekend, it would increase even more because we had the big Gurley week, the big Kareem Hunt week. But there's still a clear advantage, I think, for wide receivers when we start factoring in draft positions. So if you just look at the receivers who have given you top 50 weeks this year, we have Amari Cooper, we have Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Keenan Allen, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Crabtree, Stephon Diggs, T.Y. Hilton, Tyreek Hill. Really the only guys that have contributed at all in terms of a top 50 week. We have Will Fuller shows up once. Robert Woods shows up once. Robbie Anderson shows up once. Kenny Stills shows up once. And Juju Smith-Schuster shows up once. All those guys show up just one time, and those are all players that you would have taken late in the draft. But if we look at, you know, the running back position, of course, your, you know, Le'Veon Bell's making an appearance, your Todd Gurley's making an appearance. But then we have the guys like Alvin Kamara, who shows up on the list three times. Jamal Williams shows up twice. Kareem Hunt shows up twice, and presumably a third after this weekend. You know, Rod Smith shows up there for a week. Mark Ingram, whose ADP was really, you know, trending down towards the end of the season, towards the end of draft season, shows up. C.J. Anderson gives you a week. Bilal Powell gives you a week. Chris Thompson gives you a week. So, you know, you can see that while at the top, you know, while position-wise, you know, running backs are producing these big weeks, and maybe there is a little bit of a running back resurgence overall in terms of scoring, we're still able to get some of these guys late in the draft, whereas the wide receiver big weeks have really all come from the top of the draft. And it kind of just prioritizing those receivers early. And, you know, certainly you should be mixing in some of these early round running backs. You know, Lev Bell is going to be on this list always. A guy like Melvin Gordon that gets volume is going to be on this list always. Todd Gurley. You want to mix those guys in, but I think overall you want a real portfolio with early round.
So looking now, kind of taking this into next season, looking ahead to 2018, it's always good when you get a year to kind of let this stew in your mind. Maybe some things you would change, some things you would keep the same. But before we see what you would probably change and keep the same, how do you think it's going to affect your draft strategy for 2018? And will it be a case where it's just going to affect it for best ball, or do you think this is going to be something that you you know, take into redraft and dynasty kind of draft strategy as well?
I think the big thing is to mix up the players that you're taking a lot. So I think a big mistake that I made this year was I went really, really heavy at certain players at certain positions. Like I drafted a ton of Deontay Foreman late in the draft. I have a ton of Stephon Diggs, you know, and we're going to see mixed results on players that we kind of go like all in or all out on during draft season. But I think it's really important to just mix up your portfolio because you want to get, you know, you want to capture these weeks, and you really only need to, in, you know, like say an NFL 10 kind of context, you really only need to win, you know, one out of every 10 leagues to break even. So it's probably important to kind of vary your exposure a little bit. I'm going to try to stay, I did a really bad job of this year, but I'm going to try to stay like 20% or lower on like every player. I don't want to get too high, but I'm still going to be pounding that wide receiver position early. I still think that that's, the data is still showing us that that's where the big weeks are coming from. And at running back, I don't think it's a coincidence that a lot of the guys late in the draft that have produced big weeks have been rookies, you know, Kamara, Jamal Williams, Kareem Hunt. I think that, you know, Sean Siegel has talked about this a lot, that exploiting, you know, rookie ADP in redraft is really big because those players just typically aren't drafted very highly unless they're someone like Leonard Fournette who has like a role locked in. So I'm going to keep drafting those rookie running backs. I think later on I'm going to continue to try to get the high upside backups and hope to hit. And, you know, it's really interesting, I think, that you say this, that you ask about, you know, like a redraft context and a dynasty context. I think you want to attack your draft somewhat similarly. I mean, not with the same, I think, overall abandon, just because you do have to set a lineup every week. But, you know, certainly if you owned a Todd Gurley or a Kareem Hunt this week, like you're probably moving on to your league championship. You know, if you own, Antonio Brown during the season, like, you're probably on your way to a league championship. Like, if you can capture these big weeks, like, those are weeks that win you a week and get you a win. And, you know, it is a weekly game that we play. So I think that stuff is still very important.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to hear if there was any players in season-long leagues that had Todd Gurley in week 15 in the playoffs and actually went on to lose this week. I really don't think it's nearly impossible to do based on his output. Sometimes all you need is that real one big output and then everyone else to just do their job, and it helps you on a weekly basis. You mentioned as well the rookie ADP, and I was just going to say, and you mentioned hitting on Leonard Fournette. If you have a player like him or Christian McCaffrey, they started to, you know, stay up there in the kind of third, fourth round of some of the drafts after the draft this year. And then players like, you know, Kamara, you know, we had Spencer Ware was still with the Chiefs at the time prior to his injury, so that helped out there with Kareem Hunt. And somebody who I was heavily invested in this year was Spencer Ware, so that didn't help me. But I've had a few people on this show and I've asked them different strategies that they thought that they need to implement some changes to next year, and you're not the first person that said being kind of overweight on certain players. And pre-draft and best ball leagues this year, I actually took a lot of TJ Yeldon, which obviously hasn't worked out. He was one of my most owned players just because I thought the value was there if they didn't draft a running back, and obviously they drafted Leonard Fournette, so that really did not work out. But I do agree with that, and I think a lot of people are probably going to have the same opinion as you next year, is to try and just diversify that portfolio. I know in the off-season we can get players that we really, really love, but I think then sometimes that can come back to bite us. A lot of Marcus Mariota in my lineups this year too. So a couple of bad calls to go along, and of course those rosters not doing too good. So is there anything then outside of that there, one thing of changing your portfolio, maybe diversifying, is there anything else that you took out of this that you think going into 2018 you think you'll maybe change or just tinker with a little bit?
No, I mean, I think I'm just going to trust the process. The one thing that I will say is that I noticed that the tight ends, like just in a basic screen of this, the only tight end that I was able to find inside the top 50 this year was actually Mercedes Lewis. That big game that he had over in London with the 3 touchdowns. And it really stood out to me that there wasn't a tight end that was able to, you know, and I was filtering these guys out anyway because the point of my research was running backs and receivers. But even if I was including tight ends, we would have only had one inside the top 50. And I thought that was really interesting. It kind of tilts me maybe away from prioritizing that position this year. I was really into like the 2 tight end strategy, and certainly Travis Kelce was a big boon this year. But I think overall, like, those guys just aren't giving you enough big weeks to be huge difference makers. You're probably better off taking like 3 or 4 guys at the position late and just trying to basically stream yourself through the season in like a best ball context.
Yeah, because I think as well, if you look at the tight ends were going early, you know, Gronk, Reed, Olsen was still kind of up there in those early-ish rounds, you know, maybe even round 6-7. When you're looking at those guys, you mentioned Kelce as well, you know, their big weeks are, you know, maybe 22, 23 points. They're not getting you those Antonio Brown weeks, you know, hitting over the 30 points. So I think that might be something to look into as well. For the listeners, with the article that was published on July 10th, but the interesting thing about it, Anthony, when I scroll down through it, there's a lot of information that I think is going to be able to be implemented moving forward as well. I think it will be a little bit of an evergreen article, and there's lots of great, graphs and that up there to make it very, very easy to understand all the different aspects of it. And of course, I'll put a little link to it in the show description for anyone that wants to go and have a check out of it. So before we wrap up, obviously, any upcoming work on rotoviz.com that over this kind of off season, maybe that we can look into with what you'll be doing there?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the rest of the 2017 data to come in, both on the pro and the collegiate side, but I'm working on a piece on a really interesting filter for collegiate running backs, something that looks like the data shows is going to find us an RB1 potentially about 50%, 40% of the time in the draft. So really, really something that I think is going to be helpful for the rookie drafts that are going to be coming up in the spring. And past that, I'm really just diving headfirst into draft season. I mean, it's my favorite. It's my favorite part of the year. So I really want to give as much information as I can on these draft prospects and really study up and, you know, hopefully give the listeners something that can help them win their leagues.
Yeah, and obviously with your background in coaching, I think, you know, just watching football is something you love to do. So I think, you know, diving into those college players is something that I think I always like to see you having a little bit of an influence on each and every year. And you also mentioned to me previously that you might be working, you know, and looking in the draft prospects by conference. Is that something that we'll see up in RV?
Yeah, I'm hoping to, I have to kind of see the best way to format it, but I'm hoping to maybe just go through each conference and give you know, the reader a few players, really, or the main players from that conference to look at, you know, a few key stats, you know, and obviously link to anything relevant that, that any of the other staffers have written. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to do. I got to see if it's really a, you know, a feasible project, but I think it's something that would be worthwhile.
Yeah, and obviously another thing I want to touch on just before we wrap up, but unfortunately for us, Antonio Brown did suffer an injury against the Patriots, a partially torn calf muscle. He's going to miss the next couple of weeks anyway. Hopefully we'll see him, you know, in the playoffs, but always terrible. This season has just been so, so unfortunate for star players getting injured, and Antonio Brown has just been, you know, arguably the MVP of the league so far this season. But you did have a call back in the preseason as well, around the time that this article came out, talking about who should be the number one pick in redraft leagues and season-long leagues. So you went with Antonio Brown, and, you know, if people listen to you so far this season, unfortunately, obviously he got injured this past week, but up until this point, he has been money. So I think I have to congratulate you on the call with AB there.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. And, you know, best wishes to Brown, obviously. I hope he comes back. I mean, he's just one of the best ever. I want him back on the field.
And when you looking back at it, obviously a lot of people at that stage of the season, Zeke was looking like he was going to serve a suspension, so people were kind of off him at that stage. But you had Bell and David Johnson were the consensus 1-2 at that stage. What made you so confident in, you know, jumping ahead of those two guys to take Antonio Brown with a number one overall pick?
I mean, it's just, for me, the tremendous consistency of elite production.
Insane consistency, I think I'll call it.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's been the, I think even this year, he's probably, you know, he's not going to be the wide receiver one this year, probably, because, you know, Hopkins, I'm sure, will pass him, given the injury, but, I mean, he's been the wide receiver one for the last four seasons straight. Like, that's just insane production, and he still has that, you know, 350-plus point upside as a season-long player. So just it's really difficult for me to avoid that kind of player. And, you know, he does give you those big weeks also. And ironically, I mean, I thought part of the reason to take him was that the wide receiver position was a little more, you know, safe and durable than running back. He did end up getting hurt, which is ironic, but that was kind of a factor for me as well.
Yeah, well, he did make it through 14 weeks and a little bit into week 15, so he did keep you throughout the season for that perspective. But obviously, we mentioned the article, and we're going to have that linked in the description here, but that's going to do it for today's edition of the RotoViz Highlight Reel, brought to you by Draft. My name's Colm Kelly. You can find me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My guest today is RotoViz.com writer and RotoViz Radio podcast host as well. It is, of course, Anthony Amico. You can follow him on Twitter at Amixta. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Highlight Reel. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.